Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Jia Ying Teresa Yu, Mikkel Knudsen, Velma, Laura F., Christopher Bloom, Andrew Dix, Brianna Johnson, Christopher Dunn, Shannon Callahan, April Nash. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
And welcome to episode 87 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today, I have...
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Grizz Optric, Act Amsterdam.
Hamid Salah, Harun Al-Tahan.
Sasha Rackett, who's asking?
Azu.
And we are picking up where we left off. Specifically, you have a new friend.
Yay.
Yes.
Sorry, what was it? It was you have a new colleague. No, you have a new...
Workplace loose... proximity acquaintance.
Lifetime partner.
Lifetime partner. Live in BFF forever.
Wife in general. Contractual arrangement. Couple.
That was it. Contractual arrangement.
Have you signed anything yet?
Yes.
No.
What?
Only figuratively.
Hamid just sneaks up, puts a pen in someone's
heart.
Hand, gets them to sign it while they're asleep.
What? No! That's really distressing!
Son of a banking family.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh dear.
Corruption runs deep.
I mean, it's all right. They don't have a bank anymore. We killed
so
it.
Much.
Oh!
Yeah. Oh.
We don't know yet. We've about
well,
to
yes,
go
we
see
don't
them.
We don't know how bad it is.
Oh.
Because we killed the internet and they have an internet bank.
Oh yes.
Basically.
You're the reason for all the suffering.
Yeah. Hey.
Zoff would very much agree with you.
There's thousands of people out there complaining that their app doesn't work. What happened to my £5?
But can I please say
I wasn't. Clean slate.
Yeah.
So yes, you are all in Cairo, and I believe that there was a brief introduction to Erin Fairhands, and specifically that yes, good news. Sasha can be healed. Bad news.
The meritocrats confiscated it.
Yeah, they do that. I mean, you could have gone down incredibly risky routes, which probably wouldn't have been a good idea, or just, you know,
well,
there's this other option.
Kill you and resurrect you.
Yeah, that's not a safe medical procedure.
We've already gone through that.
We're not going to do that with 2,000.
That's how we got into this mess in the first place.
I could
place.
Get even faster.
And even more undead. Bigger and more gothic.
The speedy zombie.
That's a reference Fantastic. To something really obscure, but at least one of our listeners
one,
will get
one
it.
One listener's got it. So, in addition, unfortunately, Hamid was having a bit of an awkward problem to do with voices in his head. Voices in his head. Yeah.
Voices from the ring, voices. Really.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Specifically to deliver said MacGuffingham all the way to.
So Alex is sort of like, oh well, you know, James has gone. Bertie, I've brought that wonderful sword in. Just loved the idea of putting characters' voices in other characters' heads, but he couldn't get over it.
I'm just throwing it out there. Ring was like first MacGuffingham, literally the first
You mean MacGuffin?
MacGuffin.
That's canon now.
Oh, here you go.
Pointless items are called MacGuffinghams, as we have learned.
I think there should be a character called Mr. MacGuffingham.
Okay, this
that Bertie's full name was Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham.
Really?
Yes.
Seems a bad man.
Let's get this train wreck back on track. I believe that we can
How
actually
dare get, you?
Get into an episode.
I'm doing really well.
You're doing a brilliant job, Helen. You're still teacher's
Showing
favourite.
Us all up.
So, yes. Barrett did sort of ask you to gently and quietly deliver a magical item to your brother.
This is a plot thread we set up in the prologue.
Oh, yeah.
The prelude. And we're now in season 3 and it's finally coming good. That is good planning. J.J. Abrams, I hope you're listening. That's how you write some
all
story.
All you need to do is pay off. Just pay off. That's all you've got to do. It doesn't even have to be good. Just pay off. We are picking up more or less where we left off, which was you've had this info dump. And to make life a bit easier on everyone, you are on the steps at the entrance to the Temple of Aphrodite. In front of you is the Strip, also known as Cairo in this universe. It is quite beset by sand, and lots of faintly sad people are trying to clean up as best as they can. And there are not a lot of people out, and most of the buildings are occupied or boarded up and nothing in between.
Is there anyone in need of medical assistance?
Not to your eye. Anyone who needed medical assistance is kind of already in the Temple of Aphrodite.
No sad dogs.
There are lots of sad people sweeping, but short of just going over and going, "Hey, how are you doing? You okay? You all right?" There's not a lot you're going to be able to do.
I mean, Azu is the sort of person who might do that to literally everyone they see.
So as it stands, yes, you are currently upon the Strip deciding your next course of action.
Right, so we're going to go visit your parents?
Yes, I think we probably should.
You don't sound very pleased about that.
Yeah. I assume that parents are a good thing.
Family is a wonderful thing to have.
Well, I mean, apart from anything else, I am delivering them some quite bad news.
You don't think they've already heard?
No.
Well, they might have, but I don't know that for sure.
Well, we teleported, so we'll be quicker than anything else.
Probably.
I mean, objectively, yes. That's literally the quickest way news could possibly travel.
We also had a nap.
Well, there were several days. They may have had a message already, but I'm not sure. But I also let's just say that the last time I saw them, it didn't end particularly well, and I'm a little worried.
Well,
but it'll probably be fine.
It's best to bundle up bad news into one thing. So let's get it all done quickly.
I mean, if they don't assault us in an underground lair and set a bunch of dogs on us and then march us into an underground mansion and stick a cursed ring on one of us, then you're doing better than my folks, aren't you?
That's a good point. Thank you, Sasha. That's actually really helpful.
Yeah.
We shall all be here to give you moral support.
Right. Well, it's just a couple of streets over in that direction. Overlooks the river.
Well, lead on. If the river's left.
Is the river left? I mean, thinking about it, my uncle did send me down to fight those people, and I got exploded, by that whole... do you think they might explode you?
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Okay, it's just, family can be quite violent.
Well, I've also got some awkward questions to ask them.
Right. Such as?
Well, I think I've finally figured out what I am.
I mean, a halfling?
Yeah, you're right.
I think you are what you are, and what you are needs no...
Is that a voice in your head?
I don't know. That was just Alex trying to feel included.
Yeah.
We're having a lovely conversation. And GM has to stick his nose in.
But out, universe.
He's not even here in character to converse with us.
Pure wisdom coalesces from the clouds.
a sad sweeper.
Stop preempting my enemies.
Aphrodite.
Well, back in Prague, I figured out I was a sorcerer.
What's that?
A magic user.
Knew you used magic.
Yeah, but so
all the explosions were a giveaway.
I thought I was a wizard, but I'm not a wizard.
You're not a wizard, Hammond.
Exactly.
I've been waiting so long for that to happen.
High five.
Thank you.
Sorcerers are something different, and
they're quite
rare.
Right, so what's different? Are they just really good at condiments, or...?
Oh.
Well, most sorcerers, it's very powerful wizards can sometimes transfer some of their magical power through inheritance. So sometimes the child or the grandchild of one of the most powerful wizards will develop magical abilities similar to a wizard. It's a normal way it happens, but no one in my family's a wizard. Now, there's some evidence, but it's not concrete, that occasionally non-human magical beings...
Oh, okay, I can see how awkward this could get.
Well, if they have offspring with a human or one of the other sentient races, can do the same thing. And I think I know. Do you remember?
You, when you turn into a little weird, lizard.
The little thing. Very irritating to catch.
Very lizard boy, yeah.
Well, I don't think it was a lizard, you guys.
Well, it was.
Hang on, wait.
Yeah, you did not see.
Are you implying that you might be descended from a meritocrat?
A meritocrat? No, God! Well, what? That's crazy!
I mean, you've seen pictures of them, right?
I mean, a dragon, maybe, but there are other dragons apart from the meritocrats.
Are there? I don't actually know. Let's petition this random sweeping man.
Sweeping man, what know thee?
Well, the thing is that I only answer questions based on the results of dice roll. Is this a way to, it's a way to pass the time. With that in mind, can I get a knowledge history from everyone that has it?
Thank you, sweeping man.
Knowledge arcana?
Knowledge arcana is not going to be very helpful. Knowledge history will be.
Knowledge nature?
Knowledge nature will be as well.
Look, I only have knowledge local, but I did roll a 20. So
you know where the meritocratic offices are.
Well, we can ask there, can't we? Yeah.
15.
15 on knowledge nature. Yeah. Anyone have any knowledge history kicking around?
I mean, I've only got knowledge arcana, but they're magical creatures, so I figure that'll give me something.
Can I just do it on raw perception? Have I ever seen a dragon?
Over there! How far?
I mean, yes, we have seen a dragon. But yeah. It was a meritocrat.
I rest my case.
So, knowledge nature. I mean,
So I feel like this is something Hamid would already know.
So,
it's just Bryn doesn't.
Hypothetically, yes, there could be dragons out there kicking around. However, it's kind of one of those things that just hasn't come up. No one thinks they're extinct. The meritocrats have never claimed they are the only ones. But it just hasn't really come up. It's hypothetically possible.
Look, here's the thing, right? With anything in nature, the biggest things usually survive. And have you ever seen a dragon bigger than a meritocrat?
Well, no, obviously.
So one can safely assume the meritocrats probably killed them all thousands of years ago.
You think?
Probably.
There's probably other dragons.
Well, how do you end
there?
Up with six super off powerful
your,
dragons?
Off your knowledge nature, you do know that up towards sort of Russia and Siberia and around that area are some like mega fauna, but they're super, super rare. They don't come up that often.
I forgot about that bit of world building. From 2 years ago.
It just doesn't come up. That's why, like,
the behemoths that live in Siberia, apparently.
Well, and there's lots of monsters that we know very little of in Central and America and stuff like
so
that.
So there are huge things wandering around. Central America could be just Dragon Central. Like, it could be have roller coasters, but you have no knowledge
All
of that.
All the elves are like, these are our dragons. Stay the hell away.
I mean, I think, you know, dragons are sentient creatures, like humans or halflings or goblins or orcs. Like, some of them are going to be, you know, the dragon equivalent of people who do normal jobs, and some of them are going to be the dragon equivalent of wizards, and the meritocrats are the dragon equivalent of the, you know...
Yeah, but you've seen how sentient races interact with each other, right?
Well, mostly killing, but...
Yeah, exactly.
It is not very pleasant.
Anyway... do you remember that thing I picked up from Newton's vault?
There was a lot of things.
Yeah.
Well, just the one thing I got. Anyway, I'll put it on. I think it's going to make things clearer.
You must be very great treasure hunters.
We went to a man's house and he said, have some of the stuff that I have. Might have stuff for you, actually. We can have a check.
Ooh.
Well, most of the bags of holding were just filled with dirt, remember?
I mean, do you like dirt?
We left
the dirt.
I was
a farmer.
Well, there we go. It might be really, really fertile.
We left the dirt behind.
Oh, darn.
Anyway, Hamid extracts from his bag of holding a purple robe. It looks quite a lot like academic robes, except it's made of really, really high-quality silk.
Important point, does it clash with the glowing pink?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Azu is not going to care.
As he kind of gets ready to put it on, you see that it's got gold stitching down, like, the lapels. But the gold stitching is shifting in the same way that magical text does when you can't read it. And then he puts the robe on, and the stitching down the lapels adjusts its pattern and stops shifting. Mm-hmm. And the pattern is suddenly evocative of claws and snouts and wings and fire. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually represent these things. Hamid also suddenly looks different. Not like hugely different, but his face genuinely changes. It just that there's this subtle shift of its shape, and it's
sort of like the vampires in Buffy.
Not quite that extreme, but a little bit. So, you know, he's always been quite
handsome and attractive and charming, and it's now you would more.
No one told me this.
It's on Hammond's his character sheet, guys. He's got charisma 18.
Actually, I mean,
it's how I've described him from the beginning.
Hammond's a looker.
If you check out Anna's art, he's a bit of a hottie.
Yeah, he was always supposed to be super suave and smooth, but I couldn't ever play him that way because I'm not good at that.
You still hit charisma 18. You just came out slightly more adorable.
Turns out that's in my wheelhouse. So he's now, his face is suddenly, you would more describe it as striking than charming.
Does he have lots of, like, teeth?
Is he his face is a tiny bit pointier.
You don't know how it happened. Hamid got cheekbones at some point.
And his skin, it's now... Now, you remember before, there was a time when his skin started to change a little and it looked slightly weird. It is now obvious. It is now obvious that his skin is starting to look a bit lizardy. There's as scales, it's hardened, it's no longer, it's very clearly no longer human or halfling skin. It is some other type of skin, and it looks like brass to an extent, and it's scaly.
Appraise Hamid.
Yeah, go on, appraise Hamid.
I mean, I only got 3, so that's...
But your appraise bonus
is 9, yeah, so 12.
12. Well, what it comes down to is, yeah, like, you probably get the scrap value for the simple reason that who's going to fence this? It's a very niche demand.
People traffickers, Alex.
Yeah, but it's a very niche demand. When was the last time someone came in and went, I want a brass-looking half, like... It'd be easier.
Scrap, 10 for scrap.
Yeah.
What does the skill spellcraft? What's that useful?
So spellcraft is mostly to do things like identify things that have been cast. So let's say you run into.
It's
in
to recognise spells
recognize what
it's and spell effects, and also to kind of adjust a little bit what spells do on the fly.
It's literally like the craft of magic.
Yeah.
Like the actual practical application of magic as a practitioner.
So if you had knowledge arcana, you could roll it to work out more about what Hamid is and what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Which Hamid has a lot of.
I guess knowledge arcana is theoretical. And then
and spellcraft is practical. Absolutely.
So there is one additional effect to do with this robe.
Something Alex hasn't already told me. Interesting.
Which is as you're watching and he's sort of showing himself off a little bit sheepishly, a family tree begins to grow across the back of the robes. It's in the actual item description.
Oh my god!
An actual family tree. It begins down with Hamid at base towards the base.
Can you see it?
He doesn't know it's happening. The rest of you watch this tree, this family tree, grow from the base and branch up towards the top. Could everyone give me a perception check, please?
I would, but my dice, there it is.
Oh, no. I've only got 3, but with my bonuses, that is 15.
So I got 15 from Sasha, we're rolling a 3.
A critical fail.
The 3 people just rolled a 1, a 2, and a 3, just FYI.
What do I add to?
Well, Alex, if you want us to notice something, don't give us a perception check in the D20 system!
It's all good, it's all good. Sasha hit the DC. Yes, you would add your perception modifier.
6. Mm-hmm. So I got 8, so that's still probably a fail, right?
Sasha, you reckon, unless you're mistaken, Apophis, which is a meritocrat's name, is written right at the top of that family tree there. I'm afraid that Azu, you, there's a bunch of names. A lot of them are quite weird sounding.
Bent down, because you're less than half my height.
Yeah, we are very different in size.
Squinting
like,
so hard.
Bent double, like, what's going on down here?
And eventually my back hurts and I give up trying to read.
Grizzop, you're fairly certain that some of the names in there are actually heading more towards sort of like Britain and UK-based stuff. They look kind of British names to your eye at a quick glance.
Right.
Hamid has no awareness of this family tree. He's just gone, look,
and
I look a bit dragony.
Didn't read the item description well enough.
No, he did not.
To know this would happen.
Right.
Technically, Hamid doesn't... He can feel the change on his skin, but he doesn't know it's changing how he looks as dramatically as it is, even.
Hamid, I don't think you've got awkward questions for your parents.
What?
Because it's all written.
What?
Like,
yeah,
right
you're
there.
Not, you're probably
there's,
not...
there's words on the back. It tells...
What?
Oh. So you're descended from a dragon.
What?
You do look a little lizardy.
Yeah.
I thought it might change how I look a bit, but what do you mean it's written on the back?
Well, there's a thing. Although I thought it was like more probably like the Queen of England or something.
What?
Then maybe he is a queen.
Hamid takes the robe off.
The second that the robe is taken off, the family tree retracts itself, and you see it basically.
And Hamid returns to looking how he did a second before.
And he looks as he does
if
before.
If only there were a way that we could take a still image that we could record for later and then show.
Some sort of
minor illusion. Yeah, it exists.
Sit for a portrait, guys. It's not hard.
Have you considered a mirror? Or a cartoonist?
You are in Cairo. Find a caricature.
I mean, I need a series of mirrors, I suppose. But anyway, we'll find a way to...
What is that, anyway? Is that like a robe of ancestry or something?
It's called a robe of arcane heritage.
It's got your heritage.
Oh, well, so that scans.
It's designed for sorcerers, primarily.
Sure, well, looks like it's working.
Yeah, it's right there, mate.
Yeah, no questions, really.
It is very fetching.
Witch dragon.
Thank you.
Look,
I'll put it back on.
Yeah.
The tree comes back. It'll come out. The cheap bones arrive.
Okay, turn around, mate.
So, once I wear it for 24 hours, I can take it off for up to an hour, and both I and it will retain.
Exactly.
So I have to sort of attune to it.
At the moment, it's returning to default factory settings.
Sasha's going to read out the family tree. And then sort of say, but surely... If it's that far back, like, most humans would then be descended from a dragon, right?
Well, how far back is it?
So, in terms of the family tree, it starts off nice and known. You know, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, that's traceable. You start getting further back and you hit the limit, which is where there was definitely still some kind of dynasty there, but the records were a little bit shaky, stuff got lost once or twice, and then you just pass beyond the sort of known history of your family.
How many generations are on this tree?
It specifically states it'll go until it finds you, the ancestor that's the source of your power.
Wow.
Long story short, it keeps going, and...
It's very tiny font,
yeah.
Hamid.
Maybe
no
like,
wonder I couldn't
read it. Yeah. Maybe like... about 800 years, give or take, you find yourself looking...
What's the name?
It's Apophis.
Nailed it! Yes! Descended from Meritocrat. Grizzle strikes again.
It's not supposed to be able to go that many generations, though.
Yeah, we can see here.
Well, I believe you.
Yeah, Apophis is your great, 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 grand something.
Grand dragon.
Grand person.
Yeah. I mean, like at that stage, there's a lot. He's got a lot of descendants. That doesn't really tell you much.
Yeah.
It depends who we banged.
I mean, it's a bit weird that I've expressed
how vulgar.
The heritage of my bloodline if none of these other people have.
Yeah.
But there's no record of it in our family history.
What, it's 800 years? Probably got lost.
Well, clearly.
Although you were thinking you'd have
this
like
also,
a black on
this
the
also overturns everything that we thought we knew, and when I say we, I mean the magical community, thought we knew about sorcerers, because it's only supposed to be able to travel up to two generations.
Oh, so
this is really impressive.
Well, meritocrats are like really
well,
magical,
yeah.
So maybe it's. You know,
I can't believe I'm descended from a meritocrat.
Free info.
Most people are, it turns out.
Well, maybe.
Two things. One. Officially, this kind of fraternization has never happened. So none of you have ever heard of anything like ever. And number two, you're saying that very loudly on the street.
Mm. Point of order as well. In this universe, is it known whether the Meritocrats can adopt a human form?
They have done so.
Fine. So then the whole, like, you bang halfling the humanoid race halfling is, like, thing. Less troubling than it could otherwise be.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking
about
that.
It is known that they can adopt a humanoid form. They haven't done it in
humanoid, so halfling.
Yeah, halfling's possible.
They can do anything.
It's known that they can do that. Also, like, when was the last time they really needed to?
Well, I guess
like...
800 years ago, Alex.
Get their end away.
Because they got a really hot halfling they wanted to get to know.
This took it to
a thing, really.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a shower of gold coins or a swan.
We should probably start talking about this here. Let's have any further discussions in private, maybe, not just on the street.
Well, I mean...
You put it on!
I didn't know this would happen!
Is there anything else I can do for you, says old sweeping guy who's just been stood there the whole time.
No, thank you very much!
All right, no worries, yeah. He just walks off.
Hammond slips his sleeves off, puts his sleeves back on, and he's wearing basically the same outfit, but he's now got a sort of very lightweight cloak, almost like a cape hanging over the back of his robe so that they're obscured.
I think you should be loud and proud. I reckon you should just go out there...
Yes.
Guess what?
Let's invite the opprobrium of the meritocrats. That sounds like a good plan, especially when we're about to go and beg them for a favour.
Well, let's I mean, do you still want to talk to your parents now you know that...
Still got a lot of other things to discuss with them, I think.
Well, after that, we might want to arrange a, you know, meeting with, your dad.
With my grand dragon.
Well, no, great.
Well,
great,
yes,
great.
But I'm not going to say that every time.
I'm going to take a break there, and then we'll be back after you finish saying all the greats.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners, so there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Great!
Great! Great! Great!
Yeah, let's leave it there, shall we?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's go chat to your family. Sounds good.
Well, it's just up the road now.
So presumably you all head off that way.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you head up, again, I'm going to call it the strip because it's the best comparison I've got. You head up the Cairo strip, and again, as you head further up, you head slightly out of the commercial areas where it had all those garish and really tasteless pyramids all over the place, and all of the larger affected building, and you head into a more, I don't want to say suburban because it's very much too expensive to be suburban, but you head out of the central district and into
enormous houses where the house prices are such that flats on those places would be expensive.
Yes, that's exactly
so
where
your
you
eyes
are.
Bleed.
Really, really simply, the roads stop making sense and get unnecessarily fiddly and curvy. Mm. So, if any of you speak Arabic, you'll notice that the names get equally fiddly and unnecessarily verbose. But yeah,
so they become like Hamid's name.
Effectively, no one needs a street with 16 words, but you know that you saw one of them over there with 16 words. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you find yourself approaching the largest of these, and you know the... I have no other point of reference to give you. You know the big sort of Pride and Prejudice driveway where it's the sort of big horseshoe out front of the manor with the fountain and that... It's huge, it's sprawling, it's
I always
lovely.
Imagined it looking a bit like the Alhambra, with all the different levels and the gardens on different roofs, roof at a different
so
level.
It's not
a couple
house.
Of water features.
It's an estate.
Yeah.
Very much so. He has been calling it a house, but it's an estate.
No?
No wonder you were friends with Bertie.
Yes. Incredible.
Wow. There are a couple of guards at the front gate. They don't look particularly aggressive, but they have far too many plumes and tassels to be effective at their job.
What, Swiss guard levels.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. They appear not to have noticed. In fact, let me
do I recognise them? Do I know their names?
Yes, you do. I will let you pick them, given that they're your guards, you see.
God, I'm so bad with names, Alex.
Okay, I got to them and greet them. I go, good morning, Adnan. Good morning, Kasim. How are you both?
Good morning, sir. How can we help you today?
It's me, Hamid. I know it's been 10 years.
They take a double, a proper...
I've grown up a little bit.
And you've grown lizardy a bit.
Oh, Master Hamid. Hello. Wow. Okay. They're both completely gobsmacked.
Yes, it's a bit of a surprise that I'm here, I'm sure. I wasn't...
We weren't made aware that... Okay.
I arrived in Cairo unexpectedly, but obviously I was going to drop in on mother and father and the whole family, see how everyone's doing.
Of course.
These are my friends. This is Grizzop at Drac Amsterdam.
Drac Amsterdam, Hamid. Drac Amsterdam.
I think you should mess it up again.
I got one. I got one chance to deliver it right a second time.
Nope.
The magic of editing, but correct. Nope. If I got it wrong twice, it was just wrong.
Yep.
Sasha and
Sasha nods.
Yeah, I know she doesn't like me to give her second name. And Azu, I'm sorry, Azu, I haven't caught your family name.
The village was so small that nobody needed a second name.
Of course. So Grizzop, Azu, and Sasha.
Of course. one of them has already been running and is sort of opening the gate and trying to desperately, like...
But no need to rush, please.
He's
don't want to put you out.
Reaching into what little guardhouse they have, and he seems to be putting on some kind of vestment, and he's putting it on backwards, whilst the first one, who's a little bit more, like, calm, and this is the one who's been speaking to you, is like, of course, Would you like us to announce you? We can send a runner-up. Would you like something to eat? We could get you something.
Presumably, this conversation is all in Arabic. So Sasha and Grizzop do not understand a word of it.
Yep. They will not have adopted another language unless...
Apart from your names, which you would have.
Unless
you're translating it on the floor.
Sasha's worked out that you're introducing us from the names. bit of deduction. That's what you get with Intelligence 16. Yeah.
So the second guard has managed to get the vestments out and he's struggling to get his trumpet out.
There's no need
it's
to stand on,
in the,
there's no need to stand on ceremony. House. I mean, obviously, you know...
Can we go?
Yeah, we'll just go to the house and... I'm sure everything will be fine.
Of course.
Please don't feel the need to prepare anything special out of the ordinary.
I'm going to start trying to walk through. Be like,
shall we go to
yes.
the house?
I'll start walking with you.
The two guards are sort of lean in. One of them has to stay at the gate. The other one is kind of trapped and eventually is sprinting to catch up with you as you make your way through the gardens.
Are the guards also halfling size?
Yes, they're both halfling
guards.
Okay,
guard. Then I sort of sweep by. Majestic.
You probably have to duck. Under the top of the gate.
The house is halfling size.
The house is halfling size. So it will accommodate.
You're actually in a hobbit hole.
I'm
going to be like Gandalf. Yeah. You're going to hit your head and everything.
It will accommodate an average sized human without a problem. Just. Azu will have to stoop almost constantly inside the house.
If Azu is staying, she can merely stay in the guest wing intended for humans. It'll be fine.
Absolutely.
I mean, you'd have to make use of only two bathrooms, but you'll be okay. Anyway, the guard is sort of running up and you're heading through.
Size.
The gardens are tasteful to a fault. It's all smooth curves and they've interspersed all of the plant life, so it's always flowering no matter the season.
Is it also covered in sand?
Yes, you have beat me to it, which is... There is a small army of gardeners who are desperately trying to rake and sort all this out because, yes, it is correct for the area, but they weren't prepared for that kind of a thing. And you can see that they're all starting to notice the sort of little team coming up towards the house. You make it up the front steps towards the large, ornate metal... Well, I say large for halflings. For Azu, it's a normal-sized door, but just really fancy. And it seems to have like a gold and a mithril inlay. It's not solid gold.
There's mithril here.
Oh, yeah. And basically the... Oh, go for it.
I think you might break.
17 plus 9. So that's a 26 worth of gold glee.
I tell you what, okay. If you managed to nick these doors... You'd be well set up.
The doors alone are probably worth thousands.
I mean, I don't know...
Mostly because of the mithril. Like, the gold might be worth a couple of hundred, but that much mithril is definitely worth a few thousand.
You'd know from that appraise that not only is it really valuable, but the mithril inlay, you notice, that's not just fancy. They've made a door that, in a pinch, is actually, like, really strong, really robust. If a mob were to come knocking, actually, it'd do a really good job of keeping them at bay.
Fancy bank.
But I tell you what, if you could just lift it... Yeah. I mean, mithril's light, but the gold's kind of...
That might even be why there's so much gold there.
Summit to think on.
Give it a bit of
ballast.
Give it bolt. Yeah.
But the guard who was faffing runs up, comes to the front door.
I'm just going to try and start opening the door.
He reaches like, okay.
Thank you so much, Adam. It was lovely to see you again.
And you, Master Hamid. Before you go in, just... You might want to be slightly reserved.
Hamid's face changes.
The news has already arrived, sir. Yes, that's actually quite why we're...
Of course,
we're shocked,
yes.
But not completely surprised either.
Hamid once again takes off his sleeves, puts them back on, and suddenly the amount of colour in his outfit has drained. It's just the very slightest hint of his normal favoured sort of green and purple. It's now mostly sort of very dark grey.
You're dressed in green and purple.
That's the colours Hamid favours, yeah. And always three-piece suits. Always three-piece suits.
Fantastic. I mean, it goes so well with me.
The neon pink. Yeah. Brilliant.
Actually, sir, would you mind if I speak away from your guests just for a moment? Again, all of this is in Arabic.
Are we going in?
So, I could just start pushing on the door.
Guys, could you just wait one second?
Yeah.
It sounds like the news may have got here and mother and father may already be in mourning.
Right.
I'll just... Give me one moment.
Yeah, no fair.
Yeah. I won't beat around the bush. It's good to see you. I wish it was under other circumstances.
Of course, yes.
Well, obviously your mother's very upset. Your father's taken the news rather poorly.
Oh dear.
Sir. And I think that a light foot and a gentle manner might go a long way, because he's not handling it very well. So just thought I'd better warn you, sir.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. It's obviously...
Might want to keep the hijinks to a minimum.
I've grown up a lot in the last few years, Adnan. I'm hoping...
I didn't even recognise you, sir.
Well, indeed. I know that things have been strained, but I'm hoping that things will be better this time round.
I'm just glad that you managed to get a break from your studies in order to visit.
Yes. Yes.
I hope there wasn't too much trouble there.
No trouble at all.
Of course.
Hammond has an incredibly high bluff skill. He's clearly
I'm not
get you using it.
Also,
I'm just really enjoying Helen's face. We've had all of this. And I was like, wait, what? What's going on?
I genuinely love gossip as well. The banker's son dropped out of university.
Ah, heck, son!
Dropped out? That's been no.
Oh, that would be so much easier. Oh,
my gosh.
Fantastic.
I feel like we need to actually make some tea.
So jumping back to the Hamid conversation here, if there's anything else that we can do for you, sir, is there anyone you need us to get in touch with or anything?
No, I don't think so. Is
checking my family name.
Is Syra around? Is she at home at the moment, or is she?
Yes, the whole family's here.
It would be nice to see everyone.
Yes,
at least.
Yes, of course. Let us know.
Thank you so much, Adnan. We'll go in now, and I'll introduce my friends to the family, and I'm sure it will be okay.
Adnan breaks, reaches out, gives the quickest hug to Hamid ever, and then immediately returns back to a professional decorum. And then runs off back down to the
Hamid
to the
definitely
gardens.
Doesn't cry. Definitely doesn't cry. Not even a little bit.
Quivery lizardy lip.
Don't know what you mean.
Does your dragon tongue shoot out?
I don't have a dragon tongue!
Really sadly, it's like...
It goes out and
I'm still several levels away from achieving my final form, guys.
When does the dragonborn tongue come?
Yeah, there will be no reptilian blep now.
You head in.
I think in five levels I can grow wings.
I'm less excited about that.
You head into the building proper. And yes, it is. Whilst it is built for halflings, it can accommodate Azu. You're having to stoop, though. The thing that becomes immediately apparent is that whilst the outside is still business as normal if people are desperately trying to deal with the sandstorm, inside there might be quite a lot of black... drapery out, and there is a it's basically a butler is the closest comparison I've got, who immediately comes over, sees Hamid and doesn't say anything, offers him a black armband, and just leans in really quietly. Is there anything I can do for you, sir? Again in Arabic.
I'll turn to the rest of the group. Does anyone want just anything, or I mean, there'll probably be food and
no,
drink.
No, you deal with that. Don't worry about.
We are here for you.
Thank you. No, we'll be fine.
I'll notify your family that you've arrived, and if your guests are able to wait here, I will immediately see that they're attended to.
Sasha puts her hands in her pockets.
So
withers slightly.
Interior, actually. Bit disappointing, because it's almost like they haven't deliberately put every single most valuable shiny thing out. It's actually almost the inverse. It's got a kind of minimalist vibe. Once you're inside, like, there's not a lot. There's the occasional tasteful urn, and you're like, yeah, I could probably live off that for a year. But it's not the hoard you really want it to be.
The thing is about having bags of holding is that you could just slip enormous things. Oh, yeah. It's not like all you can do now is just, like, pick up a watch or something. Of someone's hand. It's now
you
like...
You could take the grandfather clock.
You could pinch the dragon.
Are you thieving from your friends?
No, I'm not. That's
just thinking really hard about how much she isn't.
The point is that her hands are in her pockets and she's not running calculations in her head.
So, yeah, would you like me to do that, sir?
I feel that my guest should be included in the wake... for reasons which will become clear, but I suppose for the time being, if again I turn back to them, would you guys mind waiting while I go and see my family? And
yes.
I think you should come and meet them because I think they'll want to ask you about.
You want us to come now?
Really?
Within a minute, maybe. I mean, okay. Maybe. Okay. I don't know for certain.
All right.
Fine.
Yeah.
Whatever your customs are.
Right.
Thank you.
very good, sir. He heads up the staircase.
So why don't you guys wait in here, and I'll usher you into one of the smaller receiving rooms.
The third lounge.
Yeah, they'll bring you anything you need, and I'll come back as soon as I'm able to.
Do what you need to do.
Head into the third lounge. There's a little dingly bell which opens. It's very unobtrusive, and you notice that it's coming from a different part of the house.
You're praising the sound of the bell.
Praising the bell, yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, well, I got a 23.
Oh, that's a magical bell.
Oh.
It's going to be a nightmare if you're going to palm it, though, because, I mean...
It's probably keyed into the system.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll ring, basically. Yeah.
Help!
Sasha has stolen alarm systems.
So, yeah, in the lounge. And
this is a really good alarm system. It nearly beat me. I'll sell it to someone else.
Yeah.
So this is a small room. Azu is just going to lie down.
Is there a chaise lounge? There must be a chaise
lounge. Of course there's a chaise longue.
Chaise longue.
There's two.
She pushes them together. And feels claustrophobic.
The butler returns after a short break.
Yeah, so I'll have started heading up the stairs, but I'm going to wait for him to usher me in.
He comes. Master Hamid, if you're ready?
Yes, I showed them into the third.
That's absolutely fine. They'll be attended to.
Thank you.
If you'd like to...
Yes.
He heads up the stairs. You head on to the living landing. And then from there... Well, the living landing is the one that's only attended by family and the key servant.
There isn't a dead landing somewhere.
Hey, I'll soon be needing that.
I think you might be talking about the crypts. They're not necessarily on site. How very tasteless. So upon the living landing, he starts walking, and it becomes very clear that you are being led towards the family drawing room. It's the most informal of the rooms. It admittedly, it does have lots of portraits of your forebears and ancestors upon the walls.
Not all of them.
The people who are listed on the back of my robe now.
Awkward.
Yeah.
But he leads you forwards and then knocks gently on the door twice. Eventually there's a enter. And the gestures. And gives you a little pat on the back as you head in, and then he closes the door behind you. I'm going to cut to the rest of the party briefly.
Before you, doing stuff with Aphrodite, like, you know, what do you...
Yeah, where'd you grow up?
What are you into?
Oh, farming and...
That sounds above ground.
Is that important?
It's just... Do you grow up below ground as well?
Right? Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that why you are small?
No.
Insensitive.
I apologize.
No, we lived underground because we weren't allowed to live above ground.
Yeah, similar.
What? Yeah. Why? What?
As this conversation happens,
terrible.
A couple of incredibly unobtrusive halflings enter, young male, young woman, and they head up and they basically pass their hands across a coffee table, and a selection of drinks appear, and they begin sort of allocating them out and providing glasses and...
It doesn't come in pints.
No.
They're quite small.
And they're just very, very quietly, just, if there's anything that you'd like, please just pass your hand upon the circles and we'll probably be able to accommodate. Is there anything specific that we can get for you?
No, fine, thanks.
Oh, very good, very good. And they head off and then just stand in the doorway beside the door, looking in. They're not paying attention, like they're not staring, they're like heads down, but they're just in attendance.
Oh. This is most unusual.
Yeah, I'm not used to this.
No.
This is...
No. I mean, I saw it at a hotel once.
Oh, God, neither of you were there!
Yeah.
Oh.
It came before quite a lot of disasters, so...
Oh. Well, I hope it doesn't repeat.
Just you know, they let's just not talk about anything important.
Okay.
Here.
Right.
I'm going to cut to Hamid. So, heading into the drawing room. It's very quiet. It's very quiet, and the whole family are there. Your father is at the far end of the room, staring out of a large bay window across the rear of the estate, out over the river. And your mother is sort of sat upon a chaise longue. She turns up and sees you, and she chokes up and then turns away. The two youngest brothers don't appear to be in this room specifically, and your brother is sat at the table quietly with a drink in hand, and then your now eldest sister is... She's the only one who sort of sees you enter, acknowledges you, and doesn't either break or ignore you. She just turns to you and... pats the chair next to you, and it's all just very quiet.
I will nod to Syra, but I'm going to go over to my mother. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to hug her.
Oh, she leans in and hugs it back.
I start crying.
Yeah.
So does Hamid.
I think I'm going to have to end the episode there.
Oh, goodness.
Damn it, Alex.
Should we leave? Next episode, should we leave and just let you two hug it out?
I couldn't handle...
Are you really crying?
Nearly. I'm fine.
I couldn't handle a real-time episode in that context.
Yeah.
It would break
goodness me. Goodness me. Oh. We just slam cut to just... I don't know what you slam cut to. Appropriately.
I'm sure I'll have it together by next week, guys.
Okay, well, we'll come back later. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Good night.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at @TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Really hot halfling they wanted to get to know.
This
Dude,
took it to
this
a...
thing, really.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a shower of gold coins or a swan.
I'm sorry. Okay. I have to dive into this edit. Are you telling me that Hamid's descended from a golden shower? Is that what you're telling me?
Also, do we really want to evoke the Greek gods? Because we're going to get into like really non-consensual areas.
Yeah,
here.
True.
There's a whole tin of the banking city was born from a golden shower. Like, it's a gorgeous
image. A non-consensual percentage golden shower.
I'm not going down this rabbit hole.
So anyway.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.